Buddy, it's Matt Michaels with the Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, what can we say? But it was a sold-out benefit show, Mecca 10, the benefit for Bay. What an amazing job done by yourself, done by Rocky T, you know, and just everyone who came together and was a part of this, just incredible.
Yeah, without a doubt. I just woke up usually on Sunday shows by Tuesday morning. I was like a kid at the candy store going to the site where I get the numbers from Triller. And I'm like, ooh, this is going to be a good one. And it's like, didn't show it. What the fuck? And literally checked for an hour, every hour, and it was like nothing. It's like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Then I go to the school, forget about it, come back. I'm like, oh yeah, let me check. It's gotta be up by now. It was 10:40 last night. Motherfucker still wasn't up. I'm like, man, what is going on? I had to double check. Like, I don't think they offered it on the totally free platform, so it's on the Triller Plus. So I check and it sees that it is. So I send an email, but I go to sleep about a half hour earlier. So I wake up and that's the first thing I do. And it was like, boom, we shattered records. It was 10,749 live plays. Wow. And after the first day, we were at 12,221 views.
Wow.
And the average view was 1.7 hours. So, you know, obviously some people go in and out a little bit, but, you know, 1 hour on a show is pretty decent. You know, 1.2, 1.3, 1.7 is very strong. I know we had some feed issues. I watched the first three matches back all the way through, and it was 100%. NJ was a little low. Jake, you could perfectly hear clear. The microphones worked perfectly. Especially during Shane's 37-minute monologue. I'm like, all right, everybody, we're at match two. We're already 24 minutes behind, and we only did a battle royal.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to pause the 20 minutes for the fans to say whose house it is over and over. But, you know, I think the interesting too thing about that is, you know, you had Shane, who obviously was speaking from the heart, you know. That's one of the things you got to give to Swerve, is that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't bullshit around. He cuts a promo from his heart. And then looks like sends out a tweet here that when his contract's up with AEW, he might be done and gone from wrestling forever, is the little rumor going around. So
that's hard to believe, because I thought right after he won the championship, they gave him a big money extension, is what I heard.
Yeah, and he got the extension, so it's like it was like a 5-year deal. But he just tweeted out that basically at the end of this extension, he just gave like a peace out sign. So everyone's assuming that he's done with wrestling. No one is assuming he's done with just TNA, which is kind of funny. So
you mean AEW
or AEW? You know what? I'm sorry for insulting TNA. What did you think about the Battle Royal?
I didn't really watch the entire Battle Royal. I watched AJ Francis, who very much impressed me, because, you know, work wise, you know, you think of the top dollar thing, you kind of had not a good run in WWE, to be honest. He's really taking the ball and running with it in TNA. You know, Mike Work, I'll tell you what, top notch. So when Braxton can get the biggest pop that he may ever get in his entire life, obviously AJ Francis did something right, you know, and it's always good to have Disco come back, you know, always have that fun little spot there. So, you know, I saw more of the beginning and the setup at the end. You know, I was trying to go through because I heard about the feed issues. So I figured, let me see what's up. And so I didn't really watch the entire thing. You know, Battle Royal, Punch Kick, I saw a couple different things.
Right.
You know, it was fine. But having the AJ Francis in there really made people pay a little more attention. Because, you know, I saw some reviews. I read a guy, he put, you know, a podcast together reviewing the show, and didn't really know who most of the guys were, because he said, he didn't only watch FSW. He goes, this is the first indie show I remember watching since some company I don't even remember years ago that he went to a show. So he's strictly like a WWE, AEW, whatever, TNA guy. Sure. And, you know, he put it over the show and was like impressed with a lot of the guys, you know, that stood out. You know, once again, you know, you hear things, you know, Danny Limelight, you know, we put together an idea and getting taken out by Cross and Hammerstone, you know, look good. You know, Danny has every right. You know, he is the guy who's been running the show for the last year plus, yeah. You know, now these guys come back, and obviously it's, you know, it is what it is. You know, obviously Cross and Hammerstone ain't coming back to make themselves look good. But we're trying to tell a little story, have a fun. This is a wrestling show. And that was the one thing I was a little worried about going in, that it would be more, hey, it's everything for Bay. And then we're forgetting about the wrestling. But once the matches started, it was a pure wrestling show with a great reason for what was happening in the back. So, you know, yeah, Shane went long, but I'll tell you what, the meat of the promo was great, and the crowd was behind it. Now, unless Kenny's forfeiting his trainer's pay for the next 12 months, it'd be highly doubtful to bring in Shane Strickland. So, you know, unless we got another great sponsor out there that's willing to donate, because I got some numbers on people's prices, and it was like, wow, you know, this show, if we had to actually pay everybody, we might have had to come out of pocket right there alone with that guy, RVD.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just for being there, you know.
So, but yeah, another thing, the crowd was hot. You know, we had two WWE Hall of Famers, one via, you know, a 5 a.m. video of him in Europe wishing Chris the best. So, you know, what can you say about the show? Rick Knox comes in, the AEW ref calls the finish with the match between the WWE guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Knox again, you know, getting in a little dancing, getting in a little hug, Rick's always been an entertaining guy.
Well, let me tell you something about Rick. I'd rather see him do a wrestling move than watch him dance. That's all I got to say about that. I would rather seen him do, you know, his leapfrog than those dance moves. Oh my.
Yeah. You know, here's a great thing from Phantasm Wolves. And that's what got me intrigued with FSW. The show introduced me to these talented wrestlers, became a new fan of some talents like Braxton, G Sharp, Limelight, Brittany Brooks, the teams during the Four Corners tag match also caught my eye too. You know, it's turning the fans who, you know, otherwise had, because I heard it from a number of people, I'd never been to an indie event until this show was another thing.
No, 100%. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as I said earlier before we went on about people doing things. Yeah, people do things because they want to do things and they're appreciative and all the other stuff. But, you know, deep down, everybody wants a little something, something. And, you know, I felt that putting this together, you know, is going to help us a little bit, that it's going to make people who may not be aware of what we do and who we are and everything we've done for many years, that this is going to be a platform for us that when we incorporate some of our talent, the FSW talent, which is funny because if you look at the show and it's like, oh, Ricochet and Swan. Yeah, they tag teamed that FSW anniversary show and I used them in Phoenix. And right. It's like, oh, yeah, the Rascals. We used them a couple times. And Ace Austin became a tag champion in FSW. And, of course, Cross and Hammerstone are superstars. But go through the card and Frankie Kazarian is one guy we never had before. Tremendous job. You know, yes. He was, you know, he talked to me many different times thanking me for putting all this together, you know, and Rhino, which, you know, great dude. When we were at TNA, we would talk and he helped us out at the last Mecca that Cross was on, which right. I believe was the last Mecca. And Rhino came in and wrestled Bad Dude Tito. So if you're aware of FSW, you saw when he would put MK and Gordon a couple times back then. So MK was looking for some revenge this time around, but unfortunately he got Gord through the door for MK. So it's like, so even though it's all these named superstars, a lot of these named superstars before they were stars, Shane Strickland, you know, worked the IWF show in a tag with Trevor Lee against the Young Bucks. He worked with AR Fox against the Reno at a Mecca. He worked in a Mecca Grand Championship tournament against John Morrison. John Morrison, who's been with us.
Yep.
You know, Leo Rush had been with us at Changing the Game.
Yeah.
So all those guys. But then you got to see, hey, special event, the Unguided. They killed it. Makeshift History, you know, young kids getting to be in there with the Rascals and our established tag teams. So Fresco and Watson, they get a chance to shine too. And then we have the five-way, which, again, in its fullness, I got to watch that match, which I thought was excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I know because Arian's getting up there. He's been doing it for 20-something years, but it's like, man, that dude didn't miss a beat. I'm like, he's awesome. I talked to him about hopefully maybe getting him back in at a time, especially with the seminar.
Yeah, we definitely need to get Frankie to do a seminar because, again, this is a guy whose knowledge, you know, again, it goes all the way back. You know, he was a pup when I was at, you know, UPW. And you could tell, you know, again, one of the things that you see on a show like this, and one of the things that I've seen in FSW's young wrestlers that I saw UPW's young wrestlers, people are hungry. You know, it shows. It showed in, you know, in Gypsy Max's performance with Katie Forbes. Gypsy made Katie look amazing, and Katie got in all her stuff that she usually does. But, man, you talk about the maturity of a wrestler starting to grow into, you know, being someone who's moving up that ladder, you see that. It's incredible.
Yeah, you know, and it was great. You know, people were Ricochet and Swan going back to the early PWG days, you know, and Ricochet and Swan, they were at our first IWF show. Ricochet worked Austin Aries, and to this day I tell everybody, I always tell Swan. And, he's reeling it off. He goes, because I almost forgot one of the names, and it was the four-way that opened up one of the best shows I was ever a part of. And it was Rich Swann. It was Tony Nese. It was JT Dunn and AR Fox. And it was the most amazing match to open a show I have ever seen to this day. And Swann still talks about it glowingly with a smile on his face because he knew it was something special. And this was before people knew who really Rich Swann was, unless you were a PWG guy. On the West Coast, nobody knew him, just like Ricochet. So when they came to the show, what I said last week about Ricochet and Swann, people were like, these guys dancing to the thing all night long, Lionel Richie, what the fuck? And then within a minute, they were like, oh, my God, who are these guys and why are they so fucking great? And I never heard of them, you know? And now years later, even though Ricochet is now perceived as a major heel in AEW, he got the hero's welcome.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and he played it up until he laid out Swan and got the heel thing going, you know, until the end where the same thing with Hammerstone. I thought we were going to have to give Hammerstone a heel run in FSW for a short time because no matter who it is, you know, when Cross comes home, it is truly a homecoming. And I can't say more about how great Kevin is. You know, everybody saw it. You know, the lines for the meet and greet were good, but it was like watching the one with Matt Cardona at GCW. You know, add up all the people everywhere else, triple it, and that's Cross's line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had big stuff. You know, Shane Strickland and Brian Cage are sitting there. You know what I mean? And it's like Cross is just because everybody knows him. And he was always so friendly with people back then. And it's funny because you watch these people come up and, hey, do you remember me from 8 years ago? And it's like, okay, whatever. And but Kev's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And the funny thing is a majority of them he does remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just goes to show. And, you know, gotta love Scarlett. She comes, she reminds me of Rebby. And she comes in and it's like, you know, business is business. Fun is fun. Hey, you know, we're going to do $40 pictures and we're going to do a $60 combo. Go to WrestleCon next month and you're paying double the price. $60 combo, but all the money's going to Chris. So, you know, there was a lot of people who bought that.
And remember, too, not only that, but in Kevin's case and Scarlett's case, they're at the mercy of being scheduled by the WWE to WWE World. So you have to pay to get into WWE World if they're appearing, and then pay whatever the fee is on top of that to get that autograph and picture.
No, yeah. No, I saw it was $125 for the meet and greet for Mysterio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my guy Keith, who won the Rey Mysterio jacket and autograph mask, we're going to have Rey autograph the jacket soon, and he bid $450 for that. Nice. He basically said he had to pay $400 for the Austin one for the meet and greet.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, so it's the highest price at the right now at the WWE World. This was a good question that came in here from wrestling, the old wrestling head. I know you've worked with Disco Inferno previously and him training Bay. I'm sure wasn't hard, but how was it getting him to come out of retirement for the Battle Royal? And does Disco help train still?
Disco doesn't because of his work schedule, and he's got so much going on. And I'll be honest, you know, you ask Cross, and he'll tell you Disco was instrumental in his training. You know, you talk to some of the old school guys, you know, Remy, Sugar Brown, Clutch. They loved when Disco was there. You know, Disco was a no-nonsense guy. It was, you know, he keyed on certain things. Disco is very big on selling and very big on striking. And basically, 90% of his class was that. You know, how to sell, you know, your strikes, you know, go to the European uppercut if you can't throw a punch. You know, nothing takes him away. You know, Disco's a guy, and if you go on Twitter, man, he loves to antagonize. But people who know Disco, we love Disco. You know, he's a great dude. You know, when he heard this was going on, you know, there was not even a question. The question was because of his injuries. You know, he's got a really bad hip, and, you know, he really can't take many bumps. So the question was going to become, and I had an idea, and Chris liked the idea, and then we kind of switched it where AJ came out first, and he cut the promo, and then Disco came in. So, Disco, no matter what, and funny, because Disco usually was the guy who would do the Lava Lounge because he lives like 5 minutes from the Silverton. Everybody knows he works over at Sapphire's. He would bail, you know, before, you know, the show was half over. So I saw him. I'm like, oh, Disco's gone. You know, he made the appearance. That's cool. And then by match four, all of a sudden I went back there and he was back again. He was like, oh, yeah, I had to take care of some business, blah, blah, blah. Stayed for the entire show. I know. I think he went out to dinner with Chris and Kevin after the show. So, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, he's kind of standoffish. You know, some of these students who think that these guys are supposed to come up to you. Like Disco, if he don't know yet, he's kind of introverted. But he's got the driest sense of humor. I think he's fucking hilarious. And when he knows you, man, when he knows you, he busts balls all day long. As I said to many people, the best part of FSW GCW was Effie and Disco Inferno because he made them draw so much heat that when Effie beat them, it was most people's favorite match to watch between the back and forth banter and the match. You know, Disco's not giving you a Matt Classic, but Disco is giving you a highly entertaining thing. And, man, I always hit him up like, hey, you know, you want to do some training? Well, I was ready for you, bro. So, you know, never say never on Disco getting back. Like, he was there a couple times when Rey Mysterio came in because him and Rey were tight. So that was kind of how I got the connection with Rey. When we did the show in Mesquite, Disco was the guy who put me in touch with Kevin Nash. When Fozzie was in town and we were trying to help promote Jericho, Disco was the guy who got me in touch with Jericho about doing the opening video at the cannery. So Disco, behind the scenes, is way more helpful than any fans could ever imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of behind the scenes, Phantasm Will says it was cool to see Symboli perform as well. Coincidentally, I was watching SmackDown where he debuted as Kazarni. You know, again, nowadays we also you know, we've seen Sin here and there, but Sin is, you know, still training the young guys, and it shows, you know, again, in the foundation that everyone's learning. And then when you get to see a guy like Sin, you know, especially how Sin's mind works, and you know that he's in the battle royal, and you know that, you know, part of that mapping out is coming from Sin's mind, part of it's coming from AJ's mind. It's like, just think about the knowledge. If you're standing in that ring, absorbing what's about to happen and being part of that battle royal, you're getting some of the best knowledge in front of you, you know, in terms of just standing there and listening, you know, and it's just amazing.
You know what? Yeah, I'm going to give AJ Francis a lot of credit. Kind of reminds me when we did the IWF and it was like, yeah, Lance Hoyt. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know, AJ Francis, you know, your remembrance of that. So I don't really watch a lot of TNA. You know, I hear he gets over and things like that. But, you know, hit me up. He's like, hey, do me a favor. Let's get all the guys in the Battle Royal together in the ring, you know, go over stuff. And he put stuff together. And he wanted to make sure that this came across. Because believe me, I've seen some fucking horrendous battle royals. Okay. Yeah. I remember we did the one, not this past one, but the anniversary one the year before that somehow went close to 30 minutes. Like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And it's so much easier when you have that veteran presence. I'm like, bro, if it's going too long, chuck some motherfuckers out of here. Like, we got shit to do. You know, it's the moment. It's the introductions, whatever it is. And AJ Francis, you know, took control. And, you know, the love that, you know, and again, I didn't realize how much love Bay had for AJ Francis just because AJ Francis hadn't really been part of TNA for a very long time. Yeah, right. He grew up with the Rascals. You know, that was his dark match at TNA back in the day. It was the debut of the Rascals when it was Desmond Xavier at the time, Wes Lee, and Wentz. And then Trey came in. And then with Ace, you know, those guys have been there forever. But, like, to me, AJ Francis, maybe a year. But it seems like they have formed a tremendous friendship. And, you know, AJ was, you know, one of the few. He was like, told me after the fact, because I know he was coming from Callahan's show. And it was like, all right, I already booked my flight and I got my hotel. I was like, oh, okay. I was going to book it for you. But he wasn't worried about it. He was making sure he got himself there. So kudos to AJ Francis for sure.
Yeah. This question came in from Matthew Rodriguez. Joe, what female wrestler from AEW you want to do an FSW big show like a special match? So if you had to choose an AEW female wrestler on that roster to come in and wrestle at FSW, who do you kind of feel would be someone that would be great to...
Well, we were hoping Taya was coming with Morrison, but she was doing the AAA show also.
Right.
And Taya was a former FSW women's champion. You know, Britt Baker would be great. Mercedes Moné, obviously, would be great. You know, all those people, you know Chris. You know, we're hoping maybe Natalia was going to be there, you know, but they had, you know, discussions. Shotzi was trying to be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, AEW, Toni Storm would be great.
Yeah, of course. Of course, Mariah May and Toni Storm are the first two names that Matthew brings up here.
You know, I know Thunder Rosa knows Bay very, very well.
Yeah, I dropped the ball on that one, Joe. I should have reached out to Thunder.
Hey, they could have always reached out to us like a lot of people. So
yeah. I know. You mentioned Ace. First off, that match with Ace and Morrison and Leo. what great storytelling business at the beginning of the match by using Leo, just like, you know what, I'm walking out of here. And then for Ace to be like, you know, this is my boy, this is why we're doing it, it's for Chris. And then Morrison to just take the mic and say, yeah, it's for, and then Morrison turn on and get that heat instantly on Ace, you know, for himself on Ace. I mean, it, again, it's like, it's a benefit show. And these guys' hearts were into it because they did things they didn't have to do because of the fact that they knew Chris is watching back there, and you're trying to pop Chris.
Oh, he was right behind a little that black board that stops you from going into the dressing room, and yeah. you had to move Chris out of the way every time you wanted to go back into the dressing room because he was there like this, peeking, watching every second of every match.
Oh, man.
I think for now the agent role I'm going to pitch to him, like, hey, we really need you to come by since you're here. You know, you're going to be here anyway. Brittany's on the show the 4th. We have the next one, Ground Zero. And it's very interesting. Gypsy Mac, who is now our women's champion, beloved by the fans. Yep. Maserati became beloved by the fans. She's ready. She's back. Brittany Brooks. Yes. She was in line to become the women's champion for Gypsy Mac, tore her knee, and now she's back. So it's kind of difficult because the three top women in our division right now are all fan favorites.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see, especially since Maserati and Brittany Brooks will be on hand. And I know they both feel that they are just as they are the most deserving. I know Maserati, like, I never lost my belt. Brittany's like, I was supposed to get the title shot that day. So we got to figure out how we're going to handle that. And Gypsy Mac will also be on hand February 4th. Jada Stone, who looked impressive. And by the way, she had a broken big toe in that match that she had hurt a couple days before.
Yeah, saw the, and again, kudos. You know, I know WWE demands having a EMT crew on hand, but they were there taking care of Jada right after the match. And
oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I was not aware. I was just wondering. I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't like forget about the EMTs, and then of all people, Cross broke both his legs, and there was nobody there. I would have been like, yeah, we'll never work with you again, Mr. DeFalco. So it was like, you know, I did what was asked of them, and they were very friendly. The lady that was there was like, oh, yeah, I watched the whole show. It was awesome. So, you know, I'm like, well, instead of hiring your crew just to have a paramedic on duty for, you know, a third of the fourth of the price, love to have you.
When you think about the, you know, and you said February 4th, where actually April 4th is going to be Ground Zero.
Ground Zero. We are starting from afresh almost.
Well, one of the things I liked, you know, going back to the Battle Royal setup wise is who knew that Bryce Saturn could eliminate Dante King. I think Dante's got a lot to prove now that he seems to have someone after him.
Well, maybe you should watch wrestling at FSW, Matt, because you've seen Bryce Saturn really do well against a lot of other people. Why would you think he couldn't throw out a Dante King? We're not talking about, you know, Beans throwing out Dante King.
Which would have been another interesting setup, but
it would have.
But you know, I think Dante was quite surprised that, you know, when he turns around, the guy who threw him out was Bryce Saturn, and you can see.
Yeah,
it.
Which is interesting because as of right now, on April 4th, we had Makeshift Chemistry defending the titles against one Damian Desire and Bryce Saturn. So that might be difficult, but it is definitely interesting because Bryce Saturn's one of the few guys He's kind of like Travis Hunter at Colorado. You know, he's, you know, two-way player. He's no limits, and he's the, you know, tag team. Same thing with Matt Vandergrift, Nevada State champion. But I would have no problem, you know, seeing Matt Vandergrift and Damian Drake tag again. So, you know, every time they've had that opportunity, FSW, GCW 2, they along with Bodie, killed it. Yeah. Match of the night. And they were very impressive in the four-way match. So, hey, maybe they have something to prove. Damian Drake, you know, he has been he's lost two matches in a row being pinned after a year-long run. So,
And you mentioned Bodie. One of the things that I loved was that first half of that match, that the six-man match. Man, you talk about getting experience. Bodie got his ass worked with, you know, some really great guys to you know, get that shine on. I mean, he was taking a pounding, and he looked like a damn million bucks. And boy, that first tag when Jay came in, you know, the fans just, you know, they went crazy because that first half of that match worked so perfectly. In having that setup, it was great. It was so fun.
Yeah, you know, and again, I'll give credit to a guy like Arya Daivari. You know, he's a guy, you know, I know his brother well. I consider his brother a friend of mine, Sean. But I never really knew Arya, you know, in passing. Hey, so I'm at AEW. Hey, say hi to your brother for me. You know, love Sean. And never really seen a lot of the work, you know. And again, he was the guy that Chris Bay got in that match 205 through Sanjay that basically made Chris Bay become a TNA wrestler. So it's like these little backstories, you know, that you could tell that now that I think back, it was like, man, I'd love to have talked to Sanjay at AEW and maybe filmed the minute thing about the Chris thing while we were there. And then now we talk with Arya about having that match. And that being the catapult for Chris, because I know Chris is working on a documentary. And that should be an important part. It was like, well, how did you get into TNA? And now we're talking to the players that were in there, plus what we would love to do. But again, Arya lives in Vegas now. And it's like, you know what? I watched that. And it's like, hey, you know, give me the brother rate. You know, love to have you. Man, he is solid as solid can be.
Yeah.
And that was the first time we used him, Alex Zane, you know. And then Nino Black gets the opportunity of being in that match and kind of battling a little bit with Rhino. So, you know, you want to talk about a rub.
Yeah. And Nino, and again.
How over is Rhino?
Right. And you talk about Nino. I mean, his growth, he's invaluable as a worker, man. It's sick sometimes to think how much talent and how these guys are pushing each other to develop further, because you're seeing it. It's competitive in the terms of growth that a lot of people, you look otherwise and you really can't say, you know, here or there, you know, people are just comfortable. Here, it's like, no, man, because if you can't keep up with someone like Nino, where are you going to go? And I think that, you know, that's the thing. It's like you see this and then you get to work a guy like Rhino and you make Rhino look like a million bucks. It's like it's so giving and taking that it's that dance that's beautiful. We have a question here, a couple questions. First, Old Wrestling Head said, I noticed Cross was favoring his knee after his match with Hammerstone. Was he selling great like he normally does, or did he tweak it a bit?
Well, if you watch the Nightmare Pendulum, when he landed, his legs landed like this. Damn. And that's why I was talking about it. Like, I thought, oh, my God, he fucking broke his legs.
Yeah.
But he was sore, and I heard he was a little more sore on Monday. But he was fine. He was walking around, you know, a little limp. But, you know, thankfully, you know, plus Hammerstone got to redeem himself by giving the pendulum to Limelight, who took it like a champ. So, yeah, Cross is all good, but yeah, he was pretty banged up, you know, after that. Ice Williams got banged up with his hand when he took the cutter from Kazarian, and he landed Frankie's body weight landed on his hand. Obviously, you saw Ice continue the match, hit his move. So he was just banged up. So definitely people banged up after the match.
Yeah.
But thankfully, haven't heard of anything major at all. So, you know, thank goodness, charity benefit show, and nobody came out of there in bad shape.
Yeah, I think Cross is probably his, you know, the biggest problem for him was having to hang out with Paulie and Sally the other day. So,
yeah, you know, I wasn't even invited. What's up with that?
You're not a scumbag, Joe. That's the problem.
Yes.
This other question from Matthew Rodriguez. All right. So if you bring in Tony Storm, let's say, for a big match at FSW and it's an intergender match, what guy would get to wrestle her?
That is the least of my thoughts right now. Talking about our show, what we got going next. So you got to understand the quality of talent we used. That show would cost thousands because Ricochet isn't cheap. Ricochet is no longer the 300 or the 500 I paid him back in 2014. You know, Shane Strickland is not $350 anymore. You know, they're in the thousands. These guys have six-figure contracts, you know, high six figures. Who knows if Ricochet's higher? You know what I mean? Yeah. So Toni Storm is a star in AEW. Yeah. She's not coming in for $1,500. And let's have fun. First off, you don't understand is a lot of AEW wrestlers have contracts where they're not allowed to wrestle anywhere else.
Yep.
You know, some of the higher end guys, the Moxleys, the Ricochets, the Stricklands, sure they can. But there's some people you can't get just because you want to use them.
Right.
You know, a Brian Cage. He's a friend. I've been using him for years. You know, Ricochet lives in Vegas. He uses my ring when he wants. He knows Chris. He wanted to work the show, a Rey Mysterio. You know, this wasn't Joe. This was them. This was Chris that they wanted to do it for. So if we want to use them, yeah, they want to be used. But go see how many independent wrestling shows Toni Storm has been on in the last year.
Yep.
I'm going to put the over-under at a half because I think the number is zero. I don't think she's worth one. Yep. So that means they really don't want to. So you could go into the fantasy booking all you want and who would you love. You know, back in the day when we had Lacey Ryan and we knew Lacey was top tier. We knew that she was WWE ready, TNA ready, AEW ready. And we got her a match in Vegas to wrestle Tessa Blanchard because before that TNA put her in a match against Jordynne Grace at the time when she was the TNA women's champion. And this was before the latest run. So we knew we could suggest Lacey Ryan, now known as Zoe Stark, and any major company would be fine with her wrestling Zoe at a show.
Right. When you look at this is a great from Robert. The show, if Joe had to pay the guys, I bet those front row seats probably would have cost $300 to get those guys.
Yeah, probably just like the Stardom show at the Silverton in April. $300 front row and $200 for second row. And 90 for third row, and they're sold out of front row tickets.
You know, it's insane, and that's I think one of the reasons when you look at some 800 people in the Silverton. And, you know, the fact that this was all done for Chris and going to Chris, it's just remarkable. How much did it mean to you? And I saw this moment, you know, when Chris came out and addressed the audience. Of course, there was all this run of emotion. And Chris didn't even know what to say. You know, he's crying. He's taken aback. But one of the things I noticed, you know, we saw you up eventually watching from the ramp. And then he walked over because Kazarian and Knox were standing there the whole time watching. And to me, it just shows, you know, Kazarian and Knox go back 25 years. They've seen so much. They've seen it all. That they had to be right there to see this moment. That's how much these guys still love this and love the people that they've met and been around in this
business. And those are the people I like being around.
Exactly.
That's why I always say, because I live, breathe, everything is 24/7. I'm out with the family. There's always in the back of my head, there's some thought of something to do with wrestling. And that's why it irritates me when I see, hey, yeah, we had a pretty good turnout for Ace Austin seminar. We had 13 people. But Colin Muldoon, Future Shock Kid, Lot of Promise, Bodie.
Yep.
But I really can't think of many Future Shock wrestlers or main roster wrestlers that are considered X division or tag team. And I'm not going to take shots at people, but I find it, I don't know if the word's disappointing or discouraging, that right, this is what you want to do. And here's a guy, same thing with the Amazing Red when we had 8 people and Thugnificent drove in from Arizona and maybe yeah, Bodie and maybe one or two other guys. But you're telling me a No Limits guy or a tag team specialist, one of the mariachis were there. I'm going to assume the other word. But we have a lot of great tag teams. We got a lot of young tag teams. We got a lot of young X division, No Limits division type guys that, man, is $40 that much from your wrestling training that you couldn't afford it? And I've always made it, hey, if you can't afford it right now, or if you can pay a little, or you can get it to me down the line. So that option's always there, that not having 20 or 30 people is a shame. It yeah, really is. Because there's people there that when half of the class is people that have been there like a month or so, well, they're really not knowing what they're really learning. You right, know, these seminars for some of... And again, you're always going to learn, but it's so much more beneficial for those guys that are just getting out there. You can ask questions about travel and pay, and you know, because sometimes they hear things and they think that asking for gas money and pay, no, bro, you're lucky to be on a fucking show. You're a nobody. You're trying to get experience. You're trying to go out there. You know, we explain it to them. That's why, you know, Dom's guys in PCW, they don't expect anything. You know, if they wrestle, even if it's a pre-show, I don't need them on a pre-show, but I want to see how they work. You know, something. Because yeah, they came up here. But just because they come up here, I'm not going to pay them because they want to help and be at the show. So it's no different than our guys. Yeah, we have a good reputation. Our name is getting you a possibility of being used. So when we're bringing in a Frankie Kazarian, a 25-year veteran, Amazing Red, Ace Austin, an X division tag champ, and a tag champ, and it's like nobody seems to see the benefit of it, I question you making it in the business. I question what's the reason. Did you have to work? Yeah, I guarantee you there was some that had to work, couldn't get off, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, but man, make yourself present. You know, the idea, I talked with Kazarian yesterday, and if we did something, the idea would be, we don't got anything major going on. It'll be the anniversary show. We did it with Callahan. We did it with EC3, the day of the show. So everybody from out of town that's going to be here is already here. It's a battle royal show because it's the anniversary. So there's 30 people there. So all the students for Ring Crew, all the students that are going to be in the match, now you got no fucking excuse because you're already here. What are you going to do? Yeah. Leave the building for an hour or two? Because you didn't want to pay $30 for a seminar? Like, really?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's on them, you know. Is it? Does it guarantee you that you're going to have success because you went to a seminar or you didn't? No, but I think you're going to get more knowledge because the more you hear it from people who've actually made it, well, that means a lot more. It's like, really? You got a booking at some show with 50 people because they're paying you $50. That's more important than being here for this or not coming to. You know how many people I didn't see from FSW not at the Chris Bay show? Holy fuck.
Yeah.
So not only did some of the students not bother to show up for breakdown or setup and all that, but roster people that weren't on the show, maybe there was battle royal spots, just didn't see them.
Yeah.
And there's no punishment. There's no harm. There's no foul. But it's always going to register. I'm going to remember that. And then if something's needed over some was there, that will be taken into consideration. It's the way it is.
Yeah. And by the way, JKM did stay the whole time and help the Ring Crew. So
yes. I saw him without Dante and Gypsy for setup.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's you know, again, it's funny because then you start to see where the guys smarten up and you start learning. One of the biggest things about seminars that people never think of is very simple. Ace Austin, even Kazarian, I don't know how much longer he's going to end up wrestling, but just those two names alone. What is the one thing that you could end up doing within the next year, 2 years, 3 years? Being in the same locker room as those guys.
Or maybe a guy like Frankie Kazarian retires, okay? Right. So, you think Frankie Kazarian retires and he just goes lives in his house. No, odds are Frankie Kazarian will now be an agent at TNA or WWE. He'll be working in an office. And he'll come to FSW, which he already has, and he knows the talent level's crazy. But if he works with, let's just say Ice Williams is not known by anybody, he's only a couple years in. Holy shit, that Ice Williams guy's really good. He comes to the seminar, oh man, he really wants this. So now, maybe Ice Williams reaches out to him and says, hey Frankie, I heard you're over there, you know, I'd love to get a tryout. I'd love to get this. Well, maybe Kazarian couldn't get him a tryout, but he could get some info for him, who to contact, who he might want to put in a good word for, because it was somebody like Gabe Sapolsky when he did his. How do you think Jordan Oasis and Ice Williams and Bodie? Oh, yeah, by the way, when announcing, Gabe hit me up yesterday recommending some people because there's some spots that are going to be available on the ID show that aren't ID wrestlers. And of course, he's like, yeah, I'm probably going to book Bodie, which he did. He ended up confirming him. Sure. You know, he was asking about some of the women, and Brittany's already been on his radar. So I gave him a list of people. So I don't know how many names he's going to use, but he's going to talk. And we're going to probably have, you know, 3 to 5 FSW talents now on the ID show. Now, if he's looking for a certain thing, an ID show doesn't mean, hey, I have to pick somebody that came through our school. It's somebody who we use. So if he needs somebody and Bryce Saturn fits the mold, Bryce Saturn is going to have that name being put there.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the advantages of being around. Guess what? Gabe doesn't know who you are if you didn't come to the seminar. So right. Now you have to figure out, because no offense, there's 10 guys that are great that didn't come to the seminar, but there's also 10 guys that are great that did. So, you know, we have another one coming up on the Wednesday. Jay Vidal got signed by TNA. He is paying the fee just so nobody forgets who Jay Vidal is.
Absolutely.
And Jay Vidal says, hey, I want in on the seminar. Absolutely, Jay. No different than Hammerstone wanting to be in the Impact tryout, or Royce and Jarrell, and they got to be on Impact Television because they did the tryout. They financially cost them a little bit of money, but it was something that they made the choice to do because, you know, there's plenty of times. Oh, yeah, I sent Sanjay I remember with Remy one time. Oh, I sent Sanjay and them, you know, the Whirlwind Gentlemen, you know, a video. I'm like, yeah, he didn't look at it, bro. I talked to Sanjay himself. He's like, yeah, get 1,000 of those fucking things. But yeah. What did Sanjay do? After the trial, nothing was said and done. This was before, because we did the one Global Force one.
Right.
But then they did another show, and they needed something. So I said, here. And it was the Whirlwind Gentleman. And guess what? Sanjay looked at it. And guess what? The next day he told me, here's my info. Tell them to give me a call. And they got booked on the show.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's like the same thing with me. You know, I get 1 million people. And yeah, maybe they're really, really good. But I don't have time to sit through people's videos when you get that many. But I'll hire you without looking at your video. Because Hammerstone said you were good. Because Chris Bay said you were good.
Yeah.
That's the only reason Robert Martyr got booked, not because he sent me shit, which he did. Robert Martyr got booked. Class got booked. All these guys got booked because somebody said so. And I value opinions, or the people whose opinions I value said, hey, he's going to be in town. Can you use him? Hey, you got a future shot. Any chance you can get him on?
Yeah.
Well, when Hammerstone and Dom, who runs the school, say, hey, this is my best student. Hey, this is the guy. I don't need to try him out. I don't need to fucking watch video. It's the same thing when they go to do their show and Remy and all and Sharp and whoever's on those shows bring somebody down and they have a spot. If Dom gets the vouch off Remy, no questions asked, you're going to be booked.
Right,
you know, yeah. And that's how that's how Che Cabrera got booked. That's how Douglas James got booked. That's how Eli Everfly got booked. That's how Primo Genio got booked. That's how every Santino person got booked.
Yeah,
every you know, guy from Arizona, they either came down with the other crew. Well, they always either came down or messaged, or they got they got the vouch from those guys.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And now,
it's that's the whole thing. You're not only gaining the experience, but, when you go to these seminars, you're making those connections. And that's what it's about. There's nothing negative about going to a seminar. And it's funny you say X Division people. At the same time, Brittany was there with Ace, right? I think Brittany Brooks was there, and wasn't there another?
Of course, Brittany took advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know, she's getting the freebie.
Yeah, but
Katie Forbes did it.
Yeah, Katie was there too. Yeah, so you even had women taking the class, right? So it's like, it's not even if you're an X Division, if you're, you know, a woman.
No, but no, yeah, don't get me wrong. Absorb. You know, it's like, you know, when a smaller guy, you know, 130-pound guy, chooses not to do the Lance Hoyt seminar, or a Hiro Lu chooses not to do an Amazing Red seminar, I'm not saying that, yeah, it's okay. I'm saying it's a little more understandable because, hey, I'm 5'6", 140 pounds.
Right.
You know, you're young, you're dumb. Well, what is Lance Hoyt going to teach me? Well, seminars are more about what moves are you going to do. It's making you aware of the curves and the ups and downs of the wrestling business mixed in with watching your work rate. You know, it's almost like a workshop. You know, that's why Steve Corino to me was the greatest seminar I have ever seen in my entire life. You know, he had a 10-page booklet and it incorporated a lot of wrestling and a lot of other stuff. But it incorporating how to market yourself. It incorporated how to deal with promoters. It had to deal with every aspect of the fucking wrestling business that is easy to miss from us because we're always trying to tell you. But I'll tell somebody to their fucking face as they're setting up chairs how many chairs I want, and they didn't hear a word I fucking said.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. So here's your fucking booklet that I had to make copies. Same thing with EC3. I had to make copies that you could go back to at any time. Hey, I remember him talking about something. Well, you know, what do you charge? You know, how does that work? Because that's a really slippery slope. Even for me, with the youngest of guys that are coming in, like the ID program, Jack Cartwheel, I know he has a rate. I know his rate. Hey, we're doing a school show. This ain't the GCW show that I paid you X amount because that was budgeted in. We're doing a school show. Can't do it. Can you do this? Yeah, absolutely. There's always going to be a negotiation. But when it comes to the youngest guys, there is no negotiation. You're working what I feel that you're worth on that show. And for a lot of that guys, it's very, very little. You're getting an opportunity. You're not on the main roster, you know?
Yeah.
And you want to work this show, I don't really need you on this show. I'm putting together a 6-man tag. So I don't care if your rate is 50, 100, 200, whatever. You're not getting that. Now, you could choose not to do it, but I'm doing a pre-show 6-man at a student show that you happen to be around that I'm trying to squeeze you in, and then you think you're going to get your rate. You're fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And it's always the thing, the Facebook. Oh, you know your worth. Your worth's based on many different things. Right. Yeah. Working Joe Schmo's show down the street that has no video footage that you don't get access to the next day because they didn't film it, or there's 30 people there and your rate's $100. Good luck. You should get that $100 because you're getting nothing out of it other than the money for a show. There's no advantages. Yeah. While here, well, you're in a room with people. You're getting an opportunity that down the line, you may get a bigger opportunity. For some people, it's only about the money. And if it's good, great, fantastic, you do it. But I've learned, because that's why so many people from out of state want to work, a Jared Diaz, a Richard King, that'll fly themselves in. Not only are they costing out of their own pocket to buy that flight, that I don't give a shit if it's a Spirit flight. It's still $150, $200. They're coming out of pocket. They're not getting that to wrestle on my show because they want to be on the show and they're buying a ticket. It's like, you want to get yourself out here, you know, Richard King or Jared Diaz. Love you guys. I definitely will use you. But we'll figure out the time. We'll figure out the date. This is what we can do. You know what we can do. So there's not a question like, hey, bro, my envelope's light. A lot of these guys come in and I hand them money. Thank you. Look at it later, because they weren't expecting anything. They knew I was going to give them some money. They just wanted to be part of the show.
Right. Yeah.
Because Richard King got to wrestle in a triple threat against Jay Vidal, who was in TNA at the time, and Kenny King. That was more rewarding for him than hopefully making an extra $30, $40. that goes nowhere. Right. At the end of the day, you're end up going to buy a different meal. So maybe you buy a little more expensive meal than the one that you probably ended up buying.
Right.
It's like, you know, wrestlers, money is not the most important thing, because Ricochet now makes, you know, who knows, maybe $500,000 a year. But he was working for $300, and he got to work Austin Aries, and you go to PWG. From what I hear, those guys were lucky. They got flown in, and if they got $100, it didn't matter, because PWG was one of the hugest platforms for them. And Steven Regal might show up to the fucking show.
Yep.
And it's like, holy shit, this is where, you know, then, because if you looked at PWG, man, it was Ring of Honor turned up 10 notches. You wanted to have those 30, 40-minute matches, that's where you were at PWG with the best of the best.
Yeah.
And guess what happens? Ring of Honor ended up making a deal with them later on. And they were able to use the Young Bucks and all that because of that stuff. And, you know, Cage would say he wasn't allowed one fucking comp. Like, if he was, because they sold out, he was, Super Dragon didn't give a fuck.
No.
I don't care if Brian Cage, your girl's paying or she's fucking waiting outside for you.
The only way to get in for free on PWG shows was if you knew the venue and you knew how to sneak in. That's how.
Or it was you were Atox, because he outworked the door and did everything for him. Atox somehow, all good. It's like, you know you're doing good when Atox is working your door.
You know,
the one guy I trust the most to do shit like that.
Yeah. Chief asked this question. Did the Young Wrestler Sunday talk to the veterans that were backstage and get knowledge going forward?
I hope so. But what I made sure of was, we have to post, because kids are delusional. Kids are also wrestling fans. And I said, I'm fully aware. You guys are wrestling fans. We all are. But we're here to do a job. We're here to do a show. I don't need you going up to every single wrestler to take a selfie. Because 50 students do that, it becomes a fucking embarrassment. You're here representing FSW. Be fucking professional. You know what I mean? Like, I saw Limelight. He came out. Hey, introduced himself. Hey, would it be okay? And that's our champion. That's how respectful he was and didn't want to interfere, didn't want it to be an issue. Yep. Rob was alone. I was kind of chatting with him to sign the posters and shit. And Rob's like, yeah, no problem. But I don't need 100 people doing that. You know, I understand it, you know. Yep. But your job is to be of service to them.
Yep.
You know, you can get into conversations. Jonathan goes, picks people up at an airport. Well, yeah, you're probably going to get a conversation. If guys were able to pick people up, you know, there's ways to conversate. Hey, I need you to, hey, can you grab something for me? Yeah, sure, blah, blah, blah. Now, at that point, I'm 100% behind asking if somebody will take a picture with me if I had to go run to the store. Like, hey, Limelight needed a ride, or Hammerstone needed to get food and all that other stuff. You know, you're helping them out. And that's why, thankfully, I believe we deal with really only – you know, we've weeded out the people that are just there looking for the payday, don't give a fuck. You know, obviously, you see people here that are doing things for the love of the game, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look forward to what we're starting to see kind of, you know, reset at Ground Zero now. You know, it's going to be the show before the storm of WrestleMania. So what can we expect right now that you know is planned for this coming April 4th show?
Well, at No Escape, Duke Lawrence was in the hospital and having being checked on and had a stay. So that match, Matt Vandegrift versus Duke Lawrence for the Nevada State Championship, is happening. As of right now, Makeshift Chemistry versus Damian Desire and Bryce Saturn. They need to come up with a name, by the way. You know, Gypsy Mac will be there. Ice Williams, I was just informed, he thought he might have an Evolve taping, but he will be there, as well as the FSW heavyweight champion, Danny Limelight. So it's going to be interesting to see. Ice almost scored the, almost won the title at the Bay event. But yeah, you know, something's coming big with Danny Limelight and Ice Williams. So, you know, right now, No Limits champion Dante King will be there. So all the champs in the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we're still about 11 days away, I believe. Thursday, Friday. Oh, it's a Friday show. Sorry. So, yeah, we're about 9 days away.
Yeah.
So we'll have everything up by Friday, but the poster's up, the flyer, and now it's just moving forward and putting together the matches and knowing exactly who's able to make it and stuff. So there you go. Brittany Brooks will be there. Moz will be there. Bateman will be there. Coming off his DQ loss to Jay Vidal, where, you know, some say he accidentally knocked out the ref, and some say he did it on purpose. Jay Vidal feels he did it on purpose. I've seen Bateman fight a lot of people, and I'll be the first one to say that I don't think he's afraid of Jay Vidal, and I don't think he was trying to get out of the match. So we're going to see where that goes moving forward. So, again, tickets, $30 front row, $20 general admission, best, you know, best price in town.
Yeah.
You know, live on Triller. You know, hopefully we got some new fans. So this is an important show for us because it's easy to watch an FSW show that had all the names on it that they did. Now we got to hope that seeing all the FSW guys mixed in with these superstars, because don't tell me you don't watch and say, wow, Danny Limelight, Gregory Sharp, and Ice Williams, man, they were so out of place in that match. Of course not.
Right.
They're just as good. And for some of you, haven't seen the spotlight. Limelight's been in AEW a little bit. Sharp's been in New Japan a little bit. You know, Ice Williams is doing the ID program. So
and they were all in the ring with their grandpa Kenny.
Of course, you know, he goes without, you know, that match got changed so many times. I kind of blanked on it, and Kenny being in the match. He's also the mainstay guy. So he's hanging with all these guys, you know, same thing with, you know, Bode and Jay Vidal, even though he had the cup of coffee in TNA. Jay Vidal is relatively new. A lot of people didn't know who Jay Vidal was because he didn't really have a lot of matches in TNA. But everybody knows who Rhino was.
Yeah.
You know? So all those guys made good showing. Same thing with the tag match. You know? So hopefully now they're going to tune in and be like, oh, shit, FSW. Yeah, I'm looking at that poster. Yeah, I saw a lot of them on the Bay show. Yeah, that's some good shit. And hopefully that generates into, you know, more people caring about who we are. Because it's always been our dream to maybe do shows elsewhere outside of Nevada. But the problem becomes if they don't know who you are, I'm going to have to book 10 guys that are superstars to go to an FSW show because you don't really know who our guys are. So that means you wouldn't buy a ticket.
Right.
You know, I'm not dumb. You know, yeah, that's great. Let's go do another show in Arizona, California, Utah, whatever. Why are they coming? Dante King's going to be there. It ain't going to be like, oh, my God, Dante and Gypsy. Oh, yeah, we're going to have 500 people there. They don't know who they are. It's not their fault. So it's hopefully our job to continually expand the brand, you know. Maybe Gypsy made 20 new fans who are now going to watch her matches. Maybe Brittany Brooks. Maybe Moz. You know, maybe Dante. Maybe the Unguided. Whatever it is, watching all the FSW talent. Oh, shit, I didn't know Kenny King, Sin Bode, you know, all those guys train people at FSW and they wrestle for them. Oh, that's great. You know, because there's plenty of times when I'd see shit and they would somehow, like a Solo Sikoa, not give us credit for being the one that trained them.
Right.
because they all were under the assumption without doing any work. It's called being a journalist. If you're going to post, if you're going to have a podcast, you're going to have, you know, a dirt sheet, you know, be aware that Solo Sikoa was trained at FSW.
Yep.
After a call from Rikishi, because Cepho lived in Vegas, didn't want to go back and forth to California.
And speaking of Rikishi, an FSW guy just got some love from Big Keesh.
I saw that.
Good old hero is getting a shout out.
Crazy, some Samoan guy who wrestles for FSW got a little love.
Yeah, it's kind of going the opposite way now, right? It's like, yeah. Wow. So it's, you know, again, but that's the exciting shit, man. That's like, it's so fun. I mean, Brandon has worked his fucking ass off. And to get a recognition like that, it's like, man, he's just, again, you know, you just kind of got to keep plugging at it. And to see that, just, you know, it lights up our eyes going, oh, man, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, that's got to make him feel really good. Let's see. Okay. So Chief wanted to know, and this is a dangerous question because he wants it out of your head. What's in your head for down the road? Just something the true fan is not expecting. A little tidbit Chief would like.
Well, you know, we got a lot going on, obviously, in the next month, the Future Legend Women's Tournament and the ID show for Mania. So then we got to really build the anniversary show that we're looking at. Here's a tidbit. Right now we're looking at June 15th. We also have June 8th on hold. So the idea is, I understand the attendance. Oh, so many people came because it was for Chris and Kevin was going to be there. But I also believe that some of the fans that maybe we haven't seen in a little while want something new, want something a little exciting, you know, and the anniversary show always does well. We offer great ticket prices for the students to get rid of them to their family and friends. But having some name wrestlers that people have seen on TV, because our hardcore fans, the Chief's always going to be there, you know, the Furman crew's always going to be there. The Eddie guy who had 14 tickets, he's always going to be at the big shows. But what about the other guy who likes FSW, stuff's going on, but, you know, they don't follow all the storylines, but they're wrestling fans. So the idea is, hey, well, you know what? Maybe having a Rhino on the show, and maybe having a Kazarian on the show, and maybe having some name people. You know, I have great connections. Chris Bay has great connections.
Yep.
Cross has connections. You know, he's gotten me numbers of guys like Elias in the past and Mustafa Ali and things like that. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a, you know, everybody has a price point. But then everybody has what they call the brother rate, that if you're working with somebody you're friendly with, and, you know, that's kind of the rate you'll go down to. But there's no reason somebody you've never met, never done anything, you're giving them your rate. That legitimately is the rate. Now, as Trey Miguel posted, hey, I've lowered my rate. I'm like, okay, Trey, I saw you lowered your rate, but what's my rate? You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, I can't be the same rate as that other guy who's never booked you. You know, we're friends with you, known you for years. You know, not that I expect half off, but, you know, a little stipend to make it possible. Because, see, the thing is, when I bring these guys in, like Ace Austin, for example, you know, and, you know, shout out to Ace, you know, Ace gave me the Chris Bay rate. And I don't mean like, hey, I'm giving you the brother rate for my guy Chris. No, I'm giving you the Chris rate. And yes, I still have to fly him in, so it's still kind of steep, but it's far less. But by doing that, I was able to bring him in. Then I was able to bring him in and win the tag titles. Then I was able to bring him in and defend the tag titles. Then I was able to bring him in again and drop the tag titles. So instead of having him one time for one show, hey, it's cool, I had him four times.
Yeah.
And again, in most cases, for people who do not know, most wrestling independent bookings are Friday and Saturday. Sunday's picked up a lot, but people could be booked, good independent wrestlers could be booked 4 Fridays and 4 Saturdays. But it's usually maybe 2 Sundays. So getting that Sunday, it's okay to work at a reduced rate. If you're working for people you like, you're working for people that you know. Like I always talk with Brian, and again, Brian makes a lot of money, works in, you know, AEW, yeah. And it is what it is. So Brian loves to wrestle. So Brian loves to wrestle cool matches. Yeah. So when I was shocked to find out that Brian Cage was going to be willing to do a show for free, and then I got to work a guy like Swan, the idea was going to be Swan, Cage, and there's a tidbit, Ricochet was supposed to be the third guy in the triple threat match.
Right.
But Brian got hurt. So you're always trying to do. And that's what I think moving forward, coming out of the show, has made me rethink the idea that, you know what, putting some money aside to bring in a name guy, because you can also do a meet and greet because people want that autograph. Right. You know, that's why Scott Hosey, when he does stuff and he runs things, there's always meet and greets or it's signings, you know. And if we can get a guy with name value that can come in, you know, that's going to bump the audience. So, yeah. You know, if you sell just 50 more tickets because yeah. that person's coming in and general admission with front row, say the average price, you know, 25 for GA, 30 and say 40, 45, 35, 25. Okay. So the average price, say, is $35. Well, if that person sells you 50 tickets, that's almost $2,000. Odds yeah. are I'm going to try to be somebody in that $500 to $1,500 range. But that right. $1,500 range might be a guy who's selling me 80 tickets. But then I'm also selling a meet and greet where we get kicked back some of the money for that too, on top of what he makes. So it offsets the cost of a guy who might be $1,000. So if we do a signing and we get 30 pictures at $25 a piece. Okay. And now we get half of that money. We just got $400 back. So now he only cost me $600 minus every ticket that was sold. You know, yeah. our fans are going to sign pictures and they're going to take pictures and they're not charging. They're trying to sell them some shirts and all the other stuff. But, you know, go to WrestleCon. Go look at go to the website. You don't have to go to WrestleCon because not only do you have to probably pay $30, $40, $50 to get in the door where they keep all that money, then they're charging $60, $80. The bigger the name, the bigger the price.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, and that's the thing. It's interesting because I think that just that little bit of a bump, a little bit of a name push just helps draw that one or two, you know, those few people who maybe just kind of just don't have that motivate. All of a sudden it's like, oh, so-and-so? Okay, let's check it out. And I think that's something that's fun to see, you know, is the excitement coming back in the crowd. And I think that you felt that energy in the building because I think people were truly excited. And if you bring the excitement and then you look at FSW's roster and the level of talent, that if you come back and you see a show and there's not that extra person on that gets that bump, you still kind of get hooked because, again, when we're all in that mode of being fans, there's something about wrestling that you just can't turn away from. And I think that's the thing is, you know, it's nice to get that extra push, but it's also a show like April 4th that, you know, at a cheaper price at the school, it's worth checking out because of the fact that, man, everyone on that show is going to be solid and it's going to be entertaining as hell. So, you know, it's kind of that nice juggling of, you know, maybe eyes have been open to like, hey, maybe we should check it out more on a regular basis. And I think that that helps as well.
Yeah, you know, and that's part of the reason of incorporating the younger talent into these matches. Because like when I first did the Mecca, the idea was a standalone show. You have to be the best of the best. And it's like, yeah, well, we have some pretty damn good wrestlers too. They may not be all name wrestlers, but that's how they get on the map. And like I said, that's why I put Hammerstone with Sami Callihan. That was like the test subject. And it was like, yeah, holy fuck, these guys are... This is fucking great. Hammerstone can go. You know, Royce and Jarrell at that time, they got to wrestle. It ended up being Rob Conway. And, oh no, I think it was Rob Conway. And I think Royce against the Whirlwind Gentlemen. That's how they got on him in that match.
Nice.
A guy from Oklahoma was sponsoring Conway. He also sponsored Ross and things like that. I remember he ended up paying for Morrison and Taya, too, the guy. That was the sponsor of the for the Mecca. So, yeah, it's like you don't know until you get the opportunity. But you have to earn the opportunity. And it's these little things that I see with people or our students that it'll be a longer time because they don't want to put that extra 10% in. That's great. You put in 90%. Well, maybe you should have put in 120%.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have said, man, this is what I need to do, and this is what I'm going to do. Instead, it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I showed up. I come in. And there's guys that the majority of time they're there. The majority of the time they come and help.
Yeah.
But then there's plenty of times that it's like, yeah, like that. You know, people hit me up. What's that?
No, I agree 100%. All right, so let's give a final thought here as we get ready to wrap up this week.
I'm going to say one thing that it is going to be hard for me to believe that there will ever be a moment or a show for us that means more to me than the one we just had. And actually, there is one. And I told Chris, and I told Rey Mysterio. It is Chris Bay's return match. Yeah. And I told Rey Mysterio, because he called to, because I let him know that we got $1,000 for the mask and the $450 for the other. He wanted to confirm that I got the video. I said, we played it. Everybody loved it. Thank you, Rey. I said, but I'm letting you know right now, I am penciling you in for Chris Bay's return match, Rey Mysterio versus Chris Bay. I may have to fight with Cross and Strickland, but I'm sorry, guys. Rey Mysterio has got first dibs. But that the atmosphere, you know, it was emotional for me. You know, I sat there and it was like trying to keep sipping my my water to not like openly cry out there. Because it was that sad, and you see people, and you see a guy like Kevin almost breaking down, and it's like, we did it. You know, Chris, unbelievable. And the amount of, I talked to Kevin more in the last month than I have since he left, because he wanted to make sure everything was good. You know, there was an issue with the hotel rooms, for example, where I reserve the rooms and I give my credit card. But for some reason, when they check in, they don't use my credit card because I'm not there. They use the other person's credit card because they have to hold the 100 for the incidentals.
Right.
Yep. So now they're thinking, oh, fucking Joe stiffed us on the room. So nobody's hitting me up and saying, hey, by the way, Joe, because the rooms are paid for. It's not a problem. So, you know, I find out through third parties. And it was like, hey, Zach, you know, give me your info for the room. Because Chris even hits me up and it's like, yeah, they got to hit me up. I guess they charge them through the thing. And it's all taken care of. But those guys, like even to this day, he didn't hit me up. I forgot who it was, but one of them hasn't hit me up to say, hey, by the thing. I got the rooms at a good rate. It was like $67 through my wife with the member stuff. Right. But they weren't concerned with it. They were willing to not worry about the $67. And it was like, I took care of it. Give me your, you know, Ace needed the room for two because he was going. And yeah. It was like nothing. And it's like, Chris, tell Ace to give me his info. And then I would send him the money for the seminar and then the thing. Because he was okay with it. That if the rooms weren't getting paid for, then they would just cover it. No big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it was by far the best show, the best moment. You know, I hope when Joe DeFalco has seen his last day and they do a benefit show for my family, I hope I get half the love that Chris got for that. Because, man, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's comparable to the Luckiest Man Alive speech, right? You know, you just don't see these moments where someone gets a chance to stand there and just have the realization of how loved they are, you know, come over them in real time. And it just spectacular to see. And again, shout out to, you know, Rocky and, the crew, you know, just making everything look spectacular. It looked wonderful on TV. So, you know, everything lined up and came together beautifully. And I, you know, I think that every single person in that building and anyone watching on TV, you know, just had that special moment in their, you know, in their wrestling memories for the rest of their life. And that's,
oh yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody will remember where they were for the Chris Bay benefit show. In a different way, it was like everybody who was at the Natural Born Killer show where John Moxley showed up.
Yeah,
because it was a total surprise. Everybody remembers that moment. And as a wrestling fan and as a wrestling promoter, you know, you're hoping that your fans have those moments. Because the more moments those they have, the more they're going to tell everybody about it. The more they're going to everybody know about FSW. You know, we accomplished something that nobody in the wrestling world has ever done. It's getting every single company pretty much represented.
Yeah.
You know, what more can you ask for? You know, it's 95% Chris Bay, but 5% Joe DeFalco. You know, everybody likes a little love. And, you know, I got a lot of it this past, you know, week, month, everything leading up to the Chris thing, you know, of people thankful for me putting the show together. Yeah. And it's like, where else would this show happen? You know what I mean? It's like, I'd be remiss if we did not do something for a person who's done so much for us.
Right.
You know, and I'll forever be thankful to the Chris Bays, the Hammerstones, all our guys, but specifically the ones who've made it big time and never forgot what we did to help them get to the position they're in now. So, exactly. You know, big thanks to everybody. Big thanks to the fan. I'll even thank the Silverton. They were there. Everything was in check. I will bitch that at 4:39, there still wasn't a bartender there. And there's already 250 people in the fucking joint.
Yeah.
But, you know, all good. He was excited. Oh, I wish you could do more shows like that. Well, unfortunately, it takes a lot to do a show like that. And what it took to do this show, we don't wish on anybody else. Like I said, unless it's the Chris Bay return match show.
Exactly. So that's what we have to look forward to, is Chris's return. And man, that will be, you know, an even more special moment at that time. But until...
Yeah, so, you know, when it's him versus Rey Mysterio, just so you know, Chris, I'm keeping the gate.
I don't know, man. You know, if Dirty Dom just happens to, you know, slip into the box office before you get a chance to collect, Joe. I know, you know, Dom's...
Nah, there's no chance of that. You know, the Silverton won't pay me for at least a month. I actually just got my check for No Escape by yesterday, so...
Well, there you have it, everyone. Until next week, thanks you again for tuning in. Thanks for participating. And we hope you tune in next week. We'll talk a little bit more about what's going on April 4th. Until then, everyone.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you in April.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Take care.